Amen. Come on, if you can clap like that for a man, then you can do better for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords. Come on, can you clap for Jesus and honor Him tonight on this Wednesday night? And give Him praise. Somebody, if you know that God has been good to you, you ought to say something. If you know that God has honored you, you ought to open up your mouth just with appreciation and say, God, I thank You, I love You, I honor You. I recognize it's not my own ability, but I'm here by the grace of God. I recognize it was Your goodness and Your benevolence that You bestowed upon me. If you know that you never made it by yourself, you've got to learn to open up your mouth and say something. You've got to say something and say, God, I thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace that abounds forevermore. For You are worthy to be praised and worthy of all praise. Amen. While we remain standing, I would like to just to pray. Father, thank You for this wonderful time that You have scheduled on our agenda and our calendar. We thank You tonight, Lord, for this 18th day of the 7th month in the year 2018. We thank You that 18 is a number of supernatural release. And we thank You tonight for Your sons and Your daughters that have come up to the house of the Lord, not only to hear You speak, but to experience Your love and Your kindness and Your joy and Your power in a way beyond our comprehension. We pray tonight, God, that Your name tonight will be glorified, that Your people will be edified, that the devil will be horrified because of the presence of the Lord in this place. We give You thanks to that extent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may kindly take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Just before my wife will come and greet you, I would like to just again express our thanks and our appreciation for your great man and your woman of God, Pastor Hudro, Dr. Hudro Walk, and his beautiful wife, Pastor Francine. Can you appreciate them and show some love on them and express your kindness towards them? Come on, somebody, can you just honor your man and honor your woman of God? We love them. We thank them and we honor God. You are a blessed folk to have such great leadership, to have such a wonderful man and woman of God. They are divine connectors. And I'm not sure if you know, but the little time that we spent with them, we have realized how much influence they have, number one, in the city, but also how much the leaders in the city look up to them and honor them. And today we were at an event and they were so gracious to tag us along. And it was amazing at that event how they would not only recognize the gift in the body of Christ, but also honor the gift in the body of Christ. This event were selected by, the selected most senior, most powerful, most influential men in this area, and your pastor was on the list. He was number one on the list, him and his wife. And I think you folks, you need to realize how blessed you are to have such a man and a woman. And I know you do, and I know you love your pastor, and I know you appreciate them. But looking from the outside in, every time when we come here, they just open. Many of the doors that went open for us in the USA is as a result of their love, their generosity, their ability just to open up doors for us. And so we want to thank God for them. Obviously, our church has not been the same since your pastor was there. He messed up the house. He messed up the house. Man, the people loved him. And we surely will have them back. And next time when he comes, make sure he doesn't come alone. Make sure you come with him to Cape Town. Amen, Sister Sharon. Make sure you all come to Cape Town. Because I say that there are two places in life you cannot miss. The one is heaven and the other one is Cape Town. Praise God. And we want to thank you for Cross Culture. You've got great leaders. Great, great, great leaders. And you know all of that. But it's very seldom that you come into a city and hear your hosts are being honored by senior men, businessmen, entrepreneurs being honored in the city. And that's the caliber of your pastor. And this, I'm not going to mention his name, but one of the very wealthy, wealthy African-American entrepreneurs said that when they moved to Atlanta, this is what he said today, when they moved to Atlanta, the first person to come and welcome him was your pastor. I'll say it again. He says the first person that came and welcomed him was your pastor. And we thank you for your heart in the kingdom of God, that God will just honor you. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm going to ask my wife to just come and say hello to you. She's my one and only for 29 years and as beautiful as ever.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, Cross Culture. Greetings in the awesome name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, I heard this. I've heard it all morning, actually. I like your accent. Now, when you come down, we like your accent. Amen. It's such an honor to be here. I remember when Bishop was with us, the Sunday he was with us, it happened to be the day or the same week that we had our cultural service. And I'm like, remember? And I'm like, wow. He's from Cross Culture Church, and today is culture service. You know, and it's actually a public holiday in South Africa. It's the 24th of September, and it's like, you know, because South Africa is such a diverse country. In fact, in our country, there are 63 different languages, of which 11 is official, of which my husband and I can only speak two official languages. So South Africa is that diverse, and Bishop and Prophet Valette happened to be there on that Sunday. So I was dressed in my African attire, and you were also dressed in some African attire, and we just Cape Town is a melting pot, so we just had everything going for that day. But I felt it so special because Bishop from Cross Culture Church is ministering on that day, and really God totally blessed us to have Bishop there. And I just want to thank you for always receiving us with just such kind hospitality when you are here and when we are here. And I just feel like Elder Francine is like an older sister to me. She's so special, and I really mean this. I feel so comfortable with you, Bishop. You know, God has really blessed us. You feel like an older brother. In South Africa, we would say Buddha. A Buddha, where we feel connected. And we give God grace for that relationship. I just want to say to somebody here, and I also know when God was laying this on my heart, I didn't know who it was for, if it was for me, and I know it's for me, and it's always for all of us, but specifically for the sister who was so bold enough tonight to testify. Because the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And he says when he has given you the answer to thing, or he delivered you from something, you need to come back and give him praise. So, you know, it's one of our favorite psalms, but verse 4 and 5 in Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." This is a choice that David made. He says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." We knew who he depended on, and he knew who was there for him. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Consider this. You know, the devil is constantly bombarding our minds with thoughts of doubt, with defeat, discouragement, and despair. You see, he prepareth the table for you in the presence of your enemy. The only reason why you might fear is because you see your enemy. And the reason why you hear him is because he is present. But because he is present, that doesn't mean he's winning. The table has been prepared for you, and you need to show up at the table. You need to eat and be fed by this table because it's prepared for you, not for your enemies. They might be present and you might be hearing them because they are present, but the table is prepared for you. So stop listening to what the voices are saying. Know who is with you. Know who has prepared the table just for you. So many times we are scared to show up at the table that has been prepared because we're hearing what the enemy is saying. Stop that. The table has been prepared for you. And you need to occupy your space. You need to stand tall. You need to stand strong. And you are victorious in Jesus the Christ. Because he says that he anoints my head with oil. And I was always wondering, why does David say that? You anoint my head with oil. You know, David was a shepherd boy. And somewhere along the line, I've picked this up in my research, and it says, it made me understood the following. It says that sheep are always attacked by various insects, and the insects would go into their ears, and the insects would go up in their nose and make a nest there, and this zzzing and all the noise and the biting on the inside of the ears and on their nose would make them so mad. It would make them so confused, and they would start knocking their heads against rocks and stuff to get rid of this. And therefore the shepherd would anoint the head, and he'd put oil on the head of the sheep so that the insects cannot get into their nostrils and into their ears. And God doesn't want you and I to get confused and to knock our head against rocks and stuff. He wants us to trust him. And therefore he says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And we all love verse 6 that says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because I make a choice to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And I want to just encourage somebody tonight, show up at the table. Be seated at the table. Feed from the table that your Savior has prepared just for you. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. God bless you. I thank you for having us. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You may take your seat. Have you ever felt so relaxed that when somebody begins to speak and you're just enjoying it and you say in your mind, go on, go on, go on, go on, go. That's the way I felt right now. So relaxed and so refreshed by the insight from the Word of God. Amen. Well, we are excited and delighted. My assignment in the body of Christ is basically to equip, to encourage, and empower the body of Christ. Amen. And so tonight, I am an author, and one of my books, Sold Out, Functioning Faith in the Malfunctioning World. The other one is An Irresistible Urge for More. And the other one will be released this October, The 18 Habits of Honor. But I believe as I travel to the body of Christ, and we have to come to a place, and I realize that many people in the body of Christ do not understand the season that we find ourselves in. And tonight I just want to impart, and probably out of one of the books come from this book of year, Urge for More, about what God is saying. It's so important for us to understand the season that we find ourselves in. I believe that there is a cry from God, there is an urge from God towards us to say, my son and my daughter, I want to pour out everything that I have for you. I want to pour it out into you. I do not want to leave you beyond what you really deserve. I believe that there is a cry from God, that God is calling on the body of Christ to be sensitive to the frequency of the Spirit, to hear what God is saying in the season, and to understand the Word of God, and to understand what God is saying. God is speaking so loud in this season that if we are not careful, if we allow the circumstances to close our ears and function with spiritual deafness, we will lose our blessing in a winning season. There's nothing worse to have an inheritance and do not know how to access that inheritance. And I believe that God is calling the church higher. God is calling the church in this prophetic season not to function by how we feel, but to begin to function based on understanding, number one, what God wants to do, number two, why God wants to do it, and number three, when God wants to do it. And God is saying, I need my children in this day not to be ignorant of what what my plans are for their lives. The problem in the body of Christ is not the devil. The problem in the body of Christ is ignorance. Because what we don't know limits us. But what we do know revolutionizes us. My brothers and sisters, I am convinced today that the greatest predicament that's facing the modern day church is the difference between the ideal and the real. We preach the ideal, but we live the real. And unfortunately, the gap between the ideal and the real is so wide that we have made our real, our ideal, and we begin to believe, we begin to live, we begin to believe what we live instead of living what we believe. Say with me, I must not believe what I live. I must live what I believe. Live what you believe. If you believe that you are empowered by the cross of Jesus Christ, if you believe that you're the head and not the tail, if you believe that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you believe that Christ is in you, then begin to live what you believe and do not believe what you live. Do not believe your current reality, because our current reality versus our future possibility are two different things. And what I discovered, my brothers and sisters, I discovered that we preach the ideal, but we live the real. Let me break it down for you. We preach faith, but we live fear. We preach faith, but the saints of God are living so much in fear that they have sleepless nights and they are stressing and they are worrying and they are panicking. Yet we say the ideal is to trust in God, but the real is we do not trust God. And God is saying, tell the children of God, it's time to close the gap. Say to your neighbor, close the gap. It's time to close the gap. There's got to be no gap between the ideal and the real. Our real must become our ideal. I'll say it again. Our real must become our ideal. Because the brothers and sisters, we've got to understand that you cannot preach deliverance and stay in bondage. You cannot preach holiness and stay unholy. You cannot preach giving and stay stingy. You cannot preach love but continue to hate. You cannot preach gladness but continue to stay mad. And the problem with the body of Christ, we are so fake and we all have this mask upon us that we try and live the ideal and we recognize that instead of living what God says we need to live, we try and put up a mask. And when you come to church, we all say we must love each other, but we hate on each other. And my brothers and sisters, I know it's going to get quiet on here. We preach caring, but we are jealous of one another. We preach overflow, the ideal, but the real is there's more lack than overflow. We preach boldness, but the real is there's more weakness than boldness. Is there anybody here today? We preach fulfillment, but there are more people empty than being fulfilled. And we preach unity, but the church is more divided. There is nothing worse than having a false perception of our present reality. I want to say it again. There is nothing worse than having a false perception of our current reality. And God is saying to the church, this is not a time to live in fear. This is not a time to have sleepless night. This is not a time to stress. It's not a time to worry. It's not a time to give up on your dream. It's a time to lift up your head and begin to see what Jesus sees. Begin to speak what Jesus speaks. Begin to declare what He declares. And my brothers and sisters, God is saying that we have to close the gap. Say to your neighbor, close the gap. Stop fearing about what you don't have. Stop fearing about how you're going to pay your mortgage. Stop fearing about how you're going to get through the month. Stop worrying about your children. It's time for you to sleep and to trust on the word of God and to believe the word of God and say, God, my real is going to be my ideal. I might not have everything going for me, but I'm going to trust you anyhow. I might be in a bad space, but I'm going to worship you anyhow. I might be going through a storm, but I'm going to worship you anyhow. I might be in a difficult time of discouragement, but even in the midst of my discouragement,
discouragement, I still have a praise. That's the real. The real is, and the ideal is when you can go through hell and still worship God. The ideal is when you can be in a storm and still worship God. The ideal is when your foes and your enemy turn on you and you can still smile at them and love your haters. Oh my God, that is the ideal. And God is calling the church back to say, it's time for you to close the gap, because you are living below your potential. You are living below your faith. You are living below what God has given you. And it says, close the gap. And therefore, it's important, my brothers and sisters, to understand what God wants to do. If you don't know what God wants to do, you'll stay depressed even in the winning season. If you don't know the God that provides, you will stay in lack even in the midst of supernatural provision. And God is calling on the church to open up their eyes to begin to see a God that is at work miraculously. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? And my heart aches when I see church folk that's supposed to be living the ideal. And when you look at the real, then the real and the ideal does not match up, because we've never learned and have never been taught to close the gap. The ideal is the Word of God. The ideal is the Word of God in every situation. There are three things that God wants to do, and we need to know it. First of all, we need to know what God wants to do. Say with me, I need to know what God wants to do. Come on, say, neighbor, I need to know what God wants to do. If you don't know what God wants to do, you will be depressed even though supposed you can conquer. You will be depressed in the midst of great victories. If you don't know what God wants to do, you will cry in a season when you're supposed to be smiling. If you don't know what God wants to do, you will be sad in a season when you're supposed to be glad. If you don't know what God wants to do, you will feel that you are left out and looked over in a time where God has accepted you. If you don't know what God wants to do, you will feel disempowered. And God has sent me to this house today to let somebody here know tonight that God says, I'm taking you higher, that I'm about to influence your understanding, because when you know what I'm up to, it will encourage you to look beyond your situation and to look to me and to honor me. Here's the first thing what God wants to do, found in the book of Acts chapter 3 verse 23. Acts chapter 3 verse 21. And when we have it on the screen, we say amen. Say to your neighbor, this is how we roll. The more the amens, the faster he go. The longer the amens, the longer he go. And say neighbor, it's up to you to determine what time we're going to leave this place tonight. Say, neighbor, by the way, he's going to go so fast, don't even bother to write down, just get the book, because everything that he's going to tell you is in the book. Amen. The Bible says we've got to understand, how many of you want to know what God wants to do? Come on, how many of you want to know what God wants to do? Here it is. What does God wants to do? Everybody, when I say three, let's read. 1, 2, 3. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restoration of which God has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophet since the world be. Okay, there's got to be restoration of a few things. There's got to be restoration of a number of things. There's got to be restoration of a certain amount of things. Oh, you need to know tonight there's going to be restoration of all things. What does God wants to do? God wants to restore your broken home, your broken marriage, your broken finances. Oh, God wants to bring restoration. And I know the reason why you're quiet. Maybe you don't know what the word restoration mean. Restoration mean whatever was broken, God is about to heal. Restoration mean whatever was lacking, God is about to restore. Restoration means whatever you've been lacking in your life, whatever the devil has stolen from you, God says, I'm about to bring that back to you. That this is not a time where you will experience lack, but it's a time where you will look to the word and you will have authority, because I'm about to restore your home. I'm about to restore your marriage. I'm about to restore your ministry. I'm about to restore your marriage, because what I want to do is to bring restoration. The other text says, use the word restitution. And restitution means it's payback time. You don't believe me. Restitution means it's payback time. Everything that the devil has stolen, God says that before Jesus can return, I've got to fix it in your life. I've got to fix your children that's on drugs. I've got to fix your money that's gone funny. I've got to fix whatever is broken. I have to fix it before Jesus can return, because there has to be restitution of all things. And if you don't know it, you will be broken in a season of restitution. If you don't know it, you will be mad in a season of restoration. If you don't know it, you will fight people that you're not supposed to fight. And God says, why are you fighting? I've restored you. Come on, say with me, restoration of all things. Say to your neighbor, God is about to restore all things. Whether you believe it or not, He's about to restore all things. It's about to restore your money, restore your marriage, restore your ministry, restore your help. I don't know how many people, how many believers I can find with me, but if I can have two believers that can just agree with me that the God of restoration is in this place, that when we believe God that will restore, the devil cannot even stand in the way of God's restoration. That's why you've got to take authority and you can say, God, I thank you right now that you're restoring all things. And I look where I am, but God, I'm not focusing on what I'm going through, because I know you have to restore all things. Therefore, the law of favor cannot function in the absence of the law of contrast. I'll say it again. The law of favor cannot function in the law of contrast. You have to be sick in order to be healed. You have to be broke in order to be blessed. You have to experience lack in order to walk in the overflow. And so when God talks about the restoration, He's really saying that you will experience contrast, but in the midst of contrast, my favor will come upon your situation and my favor will turn things around in your life, that where you are right now is the perfect place for restoration. You missed it. You missed it. Let me break it up. He says, I wanted to understand that in order for the law of favor to kick in, the law of contrast. Contrast says, I'm supposed to be blessed, but I'm more broken. Contrast says, I'm supposed to be up, but I'm more down. Contrast says, I'm supposed to experience the glory, but there's more pain in my story. And God says, I want you to understand that where you are right now is the perfect place, because without contrast, there can be no favor. You missed me. Without contrast, there can be no favor. And so stop crying over your bad place. Your bad place is a good place for God to release the favor that God is calling to the church to begin to celebrate their bad places of their life. You must be. God is calling on the church to begin to celebrate your contrast in your life, that when you see a closed door, know that God will open a better door. God is saying, I wanted to open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Whatever you're going through right now is the perfect position for God to work miracles. Wherever you find yourself right now is the perfect condition for God to work miracles. What does God want to do in this season? He wants to. Come on, He wants to restore. How does He restore it? He restores it by everything that came out of the mouth of the prophet. And so God began to restore based on the prophetic word. And when I stand before you about what a prophetic word, you need to grab that word and say, God, I believe it, that you're restoring, you're fixing my life, you're turning my life around. When you receive that word, you must not act as if it's another word. He must act and believe whatever is spoken. I receive it. I am pregnant with it. I believe it. And I run with that word. Come on, say to your neighbor, this is a prophetic season. Come on, say it's a prophetic season. Okay, it's a prophetic season. The Bible is a prophetic book. That when God created the heavens and the earth, He spoke a prophetic word and say, let it be. Tonight, there's a prophetic word in the atmosphere that's hanging over your life. And the prophetic word is that the favor of God is upon your life. The favor of God is at work in your life. And don't stress about it. Just praise God. Just worship God. Just thank God. And say, God, I thank you for this prophetic word that my bad condition will become the greatest condition. Hallelujah. Are you here tonight? Come on, I can't feel you tonight. Are you here tonight? What does God want to do? Come on, what does God want to do? When you look at your child that's going crazy, don't cuss your child. Say, God, I thank you for restoration. When you look at your bank that's balanced and low, say, God, I thank you for restoration. When you look at your unemployment, say, God, I thank you for restoration. And you begin to praise your way out of your situation, and God begin to honor you because of a prophetic word. I don't know why. Why am I so excited tonight? Am I alone excited tonight? Righto. Why? What does God want to do? Now we need to find out why God wants to do it, right? Anybody know why God wants to bring restoration? Because I cannot tell you what He wants to do without telling you why He wants to do it. And I know some of you might not have had a clap for the what He wants to do. But when I show you why He wants to do it, I guarantee you, you will have a clap. Oh, you missed me. I know some of you never had a shout about what God wants to do. But if I tell you why He wants to do it, you will get a... Ah, there's my congregation. Let's look right now. Are you ready for this, church? Come on, are you ready for this? Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3. Cross culture, what does God want to do? Restoration. Turn things around. Why does God want to do it? He wants to do it. Let's read. 1, 2, 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that He may be what? Come on, say that He may be what? So that He may be what? Why does He want to restore you so that He may be? Why does He want to restore your home so that He may be? Why does He want to open the door for you so that He may be? Why does He want to heal you so that He may be? Why does He want to bless you so that He may be? Why does God want to move so fast so that He might be? Ooh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God says, I've got to take your ashes, baby. And I'm going to take that ashes and I've got to give you beauty. And not because you are cute, not because you are wonderful. Oh, I've got to do it so that I can be glorified. He says, I'm going to take your mess and I've got to give you a message. He says, I'm going to take that closed door and I've got to open that door. I've got to take the impossible and turn the impossible and make the impossible possible so that I can be what? Ooh, hallelujah. Can you just sit back for a minute and just inhale tonight? Say, God, this is for your glory. My pain is for your glory. My circumstances is for your glory. My rejection is for your glory. This drama and this difficulty that I've gone through, I realize tonight, it was for your glory. This pain and this challenges, it was for your glory. It was for your glory. He says, now I've got to do that. I've got to do that because I need to be glorified. God says, in order for Him to be glorified, He has to give us a breakthrough. Because locked into our breakthrough lies God's glory. If God does not give me a breakthrough, Miss Sharon, then He cannot get the glory. And so God is responsible for His glory by giving me what the? Talk to me. God is responsible for His glory by giving me the? God gets the glory by giving me the? God gets the glory by giving me the? God is responsible for my breakthrough so that He can get the? Oh Lord, you're a good class tonight. Here it is. God says, I need the glory. But I cannot get the glory if I don't do something significant for my people. I cannot get the glory if I don't do a miracle in their lives. And every time when I do a miracle, I get the glory. And so I'm responsible for my glory, and I'm responsible for their breakthrough. Say to your neighbor, God gets the glory by giving you the breakthrough. In order for you to get the breakthrough, you must experience a breakdown. Whew, praise God. So now that we know, what do we know? We know that God gets what? The? By giving us the? That's what we know. Let's go to Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. Now that we know that God only gets the glory by giving us the breakthrough, now we want to find out what is God saying in this season, what will happen. Let's read. 1, 2, 3. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the glory former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. He says the glory of the latter shall be greater than the glory of the former. How does God get the glory? By giving me the? If God's glory is connected to my breakthrough, and the latter glory is going to be greater, does it not mean that my latter breakthrough has to be greater than the former breakthrough? So, he says, in order for the latter breakthrough to be greater, there has to be a latter. In order for the latter glory to be greater, there has to be a latter breakthrough that is greater. I'll say it again. In order for the latter glory to be greater, there has to be my latter breakthrough that will be greater. The problem with the text is that how do you measure greater? When God says that what I'm about to bring upon my children, the breakthrough will be greater so that it can match the glory that will be greater, how do I match the greater glory? The word greater, for those who does not know, it simply means whatever God did yesterday cannot be compared with God is about to do today. The word greater means whatever favor and whatever increase and whatever supernatural miracles you experienced yesterday cannot be compared to what God is about to release over your life. I wish I had two folks that can say amen. He says, what is going to come upon you greater cannot be explained. The only way how greater can be explained will be found in three letters, and it is W-O-W. The only way what is coming upon your life and what God is getting ready to do can only be explained by W. God says, I am about to. God's wow will come in your now. Bible says now. When does God want to do it? I cannot tell you what he wants to do. I cannot also tell you why he wants to do it. But I need to tell you when he wants to do it. Are you with me? Let's go to the book of John chapter 6 verse 21. John 6, 21. Are you still here, church? Praise God. Amen. Amen. I notice the amens are very slow, so I'm just taking my time. Praise God. Amen. You're not saying amen, amen. The fact that you're saying amen, 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 amen is a sign that you want me to continue to teach, right? It's a, that's how I feel you tonight. Because, ooh, hallelujah. John chapter 6, now verse 21 says, and when they were out, and we'll have it on the screen right there, the Bible says, then they willingly received. They received the revelation of Jesus the Christ. When they receive him into the boat, 5 minutes after that, they got to the destination. Ten minutes after that, they got to their destination. Oh, say to your neighbor, what part of immediately don't you understand? What God wants to do, the urgency from God to those who understand the revelation. God says, I want to do things immediately in your life. In that text, they had a journey of 13 miles. They got 5 miles in the middle of the ocean. They had 8 miles to go. When they got to the eighth mile, in the fifth mile, the storm came up. They received Jesus. And when they willingly received him, he fast-tracked and took what was to come. He brought it into their now. The 8 miles would have taken them another hour or 2 hours because they were in the ocean. And the Bible says what was supposed to take 13 miles, God did it in 5 miles, and he began to tamper with their time and took time out of the equation that what was supposed to happen then happen in the now. And God says, in this prophetic season, I'm accelerating my favor into the now, that whatever was supposed to happen 10 years from now can happen right now. Whatever was supposed to happen 20 years from now can happen right now. Say to your neighbor, God does not live in time. Time lives in God. And God began to accelerate. You still don't believe me. You still don't believe me. Go to 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings. Are you still here, church? Go to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. I want to speak to you about what I'm talking about is the power of the prophetic word tonight over your life. Release. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. The Bible says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow by this time a shear of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 shears of barley, for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. We need to understand there is an extended drought in Samaria. The drought and the famine is so bad that the mothers begin to boil their children. That's how bad it was. Elijah now comes and releases a prophetic word. When Elisha makes the prophetic announcement, God started prophetic activation. The Bible says, Elisha says to them, you are in a bad condition, but hear the word of the Lord. He says to them, I want you now to change your perspective about your current reality. He says, you are in a dark place, in a dry place, in a difficult place, but hear the word of the Lord. I don't care where you are tonight, whatever place you are, hear the word of the Lord. You're going through a drought, he says, hear the word of the Lord. You're facing challenges, he says, hear the word of the Lord. Why? Because when you hear the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord will change your perspective about your current reality. Say to your neighbor, change your perspective about your current reality. Come on, say it again. Change your perspective about your current reality. One more time. Change your perspective about your current reality. They are having a current reality of drought. He says, can you allow your perception of what you're going through and what you experience, can you allow your perception to be changed by the word of the Lord? He says, hear the word. He says, I wanted to hear the word of the Lord because the sound and the voice, because the voice of pain is crying much louder than the voice of healing. He says, hear the word of the Lord because the voice of poverty is crying much louder than the voice of prosperity. He says, hear the word of the Lord because the voice of lack is crying much more than the voice of provision. He says, this is what is going to change your current reality, is hear the word of the Lord. Hear differently. He says, now, tomorrow, this time, say with me, acceleration. Come on, say acceleration. Say, neighbor, the word of God brings acceleration. Oh, in your current reality, there will be acceleration. He says, tomorrow, there will be fire. Here's my problem with the text. My problem is, Doc, is that the Bible tells us what God wants to do. He says, God wants to make provision and break the drought. He says, where God wants to bring it to? At the gate of Samaria. He says, when God wants to do it? Tomorrow. God gives them a prophetic word that includes the what, that includes the when, and that includes the where. Say to your neighbor, the what, the when, and the where. Come on, one more time. The what, the when, and the where. The problem with the text is God does not tell them the how. Ask your neighbor, neighbor, why doesn't God tell you the how? Well, say, neighbor, ask the preacher, ask the preacher. Say, ask the preacher, ask the preacher. Say, why does God leave out the how? Well, since you asked me, just get the book. It's only $10. Get the book. Get the book. Here it is. God leaves his how out of the prophetic arena, because God knows that we will never be able to handle God's how in our now. God's how in our now will not make sense. When God begins to tell you how he's going to provide for you, it will not make sense to you. When God will show you how he's going to open the door for you, you will not be able to contain the how God is going to work. But I don't believe and I don't figure out God's how. I just need to know that God is at work, and I don't question God's how in my now. I believe God's how in my now. He tells them the when. He tells them the what. He tells them the where and leaves out the how. When God will show you how that blessing will come and God have to open the doors, God says, your mental faculty will not be able to handle it. I'll say it again. God says, your mental faculty will not be able to handle how God will do it. And he leaves his how out of the now. I know that I'm right, and I know you look so holy. I know. You're not struggling about the what of your miracle. You're not struggling about the when of your miracle. And you're not struggling about the where of your miracle. You are trying to figure out, how will I pay my mortgage the end of this month? You are trying to figure out, how will I get to my car payments this month? You are trying to figure out the how, and God says, my how is my business. All I need you to know that I'm about to do something so big in your life that you don't have to worry about it or don't have to stress about it, because I will bring it to pass. Look at the text. Look at the text. Say to your neighbor, you are not the only person who questioned the how of God. Say, by the way, neighbor, you will not be the first person to question the how of God. Say, neighbor, you look so holy, but you have try and figure out how am I going to make it? Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. I'm almost through. In the next verse too, the Bible says there's an officer. An officer whose hand the king leaned on. He answers the man of God and says, look, if the Lord would make the windows of heaven, in heaven, could this thing be? And in fact, he said, in fact, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Here is an officer that do what we do all the time. We question how God is going to do it. Watch this now. This is an officer who advised the king. Doc, watch out who's advising you. Because they will always question, how is this going to happen? How are we going to expand? How will we meet our budget? How will we do that? How? Look at what we've got, and we question the how. And God says, the how is not your business. Your business is to believe my word, and I will do it. Here is an officer who questioned God's how. And the reason why he questioned God's how, because he seems to think process. Say with me, process. The prophet says tomorrow this time, there's going to be flour. He thinks, what does it take for flour to be here tomorrow this time? When he thinks process, he thinks impossible. When he thinks process, he says in his mind, it cannot be. I know what does it take for that to happen. I know we need rain. I know we need seed in the ground. I know we need to work the ground. I know we need to remove the weed. I know we need to wait for it before there's a harvest. And you are telling me the process that normally takes 3 or 4 or 5 months, God can do it in one day. The devil have taught us to become process thinkers. And we are trying to figure God out with logic. And logic does not work in the kingdom of God. Logic does not stand in the kingdom of God. And this man is trying to figure out God's how with logic. And when he try and figure out God's how with logic, he says to himself, well, Can I have, my brothers, can you, this whole front row, can the three of you come? And my brother, can you come as well? This is how he thinks. But Sharon, this is the officer on the text who's questioning God's how. Can you stand right next to that? That's good. Stand next right over here. There you are. Stand right over here. Next. There you are. Can you clap for them? Praise God. God says, I'm about to, in this prophetic season, I'm about to blow your mind. And you're questioning my how. Why? Because we are so trained to think natural and logic. This officer says, well, there's got to be the working of the ground. Work the ground. There you are, work the ground. Say with him, said he's working the ground. Then there's got to be the seed, put the seed in the ground. And then there's got to be rain. Come on, there's got to be what? There's got to be working. There's got to be seed. There's got to be watering. Come on, say with me, working, seed, walk. And now, where the water comes, the weeds, you pull the weed out. There you are, you pull the weed out. Can you come here, sir? Pulls the weed out. And now comes the waiting. And this office is thinking process, the waiting. The waiting, come stand here, my sister. And she's the harvest. You go on. That's the harvest. In the body of Christ, the most dangerous thing a believer can do is to think process. This officer is thinking process. You tell me tomorrow, this time, there's going to be provision. I know what does it take. It takes what? It takes working. It takes seed. It takes watering. It takes weeds. It takes waiting. And then harvest. And so while he's thinking process, God smiles. God says, oh fool, don't you know me by now? You with your educated mind, trying to work logic, how I'm going to make a way for you, how I'm going to get your children off that. Keep on working the process. How I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do the impossible. You are trying to figure out, you have sleepless nights. You got sleepless nights about paying your mortgage. You got sleepless nights about your dreams. And you saying it's too late. You cannot build that business. You cannot write that book. And you are thinking process of how much time and how much energy it takes. And you need. And you thinking process. And God says, wait a minute. You cannot do process. Here it is. God does not remove process. God will always provide in the process. Say to your neighbor, God will not remove process. God provides in the process. Ask your neighbor, what does he provide? Say, ask the preacher. Well, I'm not going to tell you, get the book. I'm going to tell you right now. How does he provide? Here it is. He can provide compressed time. God compresses the time of working, the time of seeds, the time of watering, the time of seeds, the time of waiting. God compresses time. And what was supposed to happen 3 months happened in 1 day. What was supposed to happen 5 months happened in 1 day, because God is compressing time in the... Here it is. God is putting his church on compressed time. God will do things much faster. He's not going to remove the process. He will take you through the process much faster than what was working for a long time. He will do what was waiting for a long time. He will do it in no time. That what was a seed for a long time, he do it in no time. That what took a long time of watering, he do it in no time. That what took a long time of removing the weed, he did it in no time. And what took a long time of waiting, he does it in no time, so that he can accelerate your harvest. Say, neighbor, be encouraged tonight. You are on God's compressed time. You are on God's compressed time. You will go through it, but you will get out of it so quickly that when you look at it, you will say, have I been there? Did I go through that? And some of you will be in it, but you wouldn't even know that you were in it, because it went so fast. Everybody stand to your feet, please. And God is saying, I am putting my church on compressed time. Compressed time is God's time. It's Kairos time. That time lives in God, and not God lives in time. Time is in God. He compresses the time in us so that the latter harvest can be greater than the former harvest, and that our latter breakthrough can be greater than the former breakthrough, because on God's agenda is restoration. And some of you have wondered why the enemy has been fighting you. You've been wondered, why do I get out of a storm and then all of a sudden I'm back in a storm? To get out of a storm, to get back in a storm. And some of you have been wondering why things are so crazy. And God is saying, I want you to know that even the devil knows that God has got his church on compressed time. Even the devil knows that God wants to do something so big and something so mighty and something so powerful in your life. And I sense the presence of the Lord today, that there's somebody in this place tonight that say, God, I heard this revelation tonight, but I've been doubting you, and I've been giving up on my dreams, and I've been giving up on my destiny, and I've been questioning your how in my now. But God, while I've been questioning, you have been working it out. And I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you will just do something significant in my life. And I just want to do a corporate prayer. And maybe if you want to be included in the prayer, I know time is far gone. I just wanted to run to the front quickly as we bring a prayer of prophetic release of acceleration upon your life. An acceleration. You know what you need. You know the challenges that you're facing right now. You know what you're believing God for. And I believe right now, as we call upon the name of the Lord, that there will be a supernatural release of the word of God, that we will not question God's now, that we will believe that tomorrow this time, I believe tomorrow this time, you will be experiencing a supernatural move of the Spirit of God in this prophetic season. The enemy is under your feet. I want you to grab this opportunity tonight and say, God, this is my night. I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. I'm not going to let this moment slip out of my hand. This is my opportunity, God, to get myself onto your time. Oh God, thank you for compressing it into my life tonight. Can you cry out before the Lord tonight and just make your desires known? Say, God, you know who I am, you know where I am, and you know what I need, but I thank you tonight. If you said it, you want to break the drought in my life, I'm going to believe it tonight. I'm going to believe it tonight. I'm not going to try and work out logic. I'm not going to try and figure it out. I'm not going to try and calculate laid it on, but God, I'm at the altar tonight. I'm at the altar because I believe that you are still the God of the impossible. I'm at the altar because I believe that you are the God that will honor your word. I'm at the altar tonight because I still believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm at the altar because I believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, say with me, signs, wonders, and miracles. Oh, give signs, wonders, and miracles. Say tonight, I believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, say, I believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. Oh, signs, wonders, and miracles. God, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we declare signs, wonders, and miracles. We break every barrier. We break every bondage. We break every spirit of doubt tonight. And we thank you tonight that your church, that this church will see this week, they will see signs, they will see wonders, they will see miracles. Your house will see signs, wonders, and miracles. Your business will see signs and wonders and miracles. If you believe it tonight, I need you to press out and say, God, signs, wonders, and miracles. God, I believe it tonight. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. That's right, that's right, that's right. That's right, that's right, that's right. There's a miracle happening in your life right now. There's a miracle right now happening in your home. There's a miracle right now happening in your finances. There's a miracle. Get it tonight. It's yours tonight. Get it tonight. It's your opportunity tonight. Get your signs. Get your miracles. And get your wonders. Hallelujah. 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 What the doctor said was impossible, God says, I will do it just like that. What the doctor said cannot happen, God says, you're on compressed time. I'm about to perform it right now over your life tonight. In the name of Jesus. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Yes. 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 Signs, wonders, and miracle. Yes. Signs, wonders, and miracle. Say signs, wonders, and miracles. And miracles now. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. Girls now. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. Come on, sing it tonight, believing there's a miracle over your life. Sing it. And miracles now, now, now. Come on, sing it again, sing it again. Say, God is now. For the last time, signs, miracles, signs, signs, wonders, and miracles now. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. Signs. Sing it tonight. This prophetic word is coming to pass. There's an increase of signs and miracles happening over your life right now as you decree it tonight. For the last time, signs, wonders. Now give the Lord a bigger shout if you believe what you just sung. Come on, if you believe it tonight, that's right, signs, wonders, and miracles now. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. God, we believe it tonight. We receive it tonight. By faith. One more time. Signs. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. Signs, wonders, and miracles now. And miracles. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this exciting season where you are quick to perform your word over your people. Lord, we have declared in the atmosphere that signs and wonders and miracles will be now. It will be now in our bodies. It will be now in our homes. It will be now in our business. It will be now in our family. It will be now, God, at every level. And we believe that you are the God of the now. We're not figuring out the how. You're the God of the now. And Lord, we thank you tonight for the testimonies that will come back to say what God has done. Let's sing it with other music signs.